Welcome to The Food Fix, where we talk with innovators who are figuring out how to better feed the world. I'm your host, Casey Wurst. For some people, anything is good if it's made of chocolate, but many people don't know how chocolate is made or where it comes from. Chocolate is made from cocoa beans found in West Africa. As the world's demand for chocolate rises, many cocoa farmers struggle with low yields and low incomes. More than 90% of cocoa farmers in Ghana, the world's second largest producer of cocoa, live on less than a dollar a day per person. Researchers are studying if certifying farmers as trained cocoa producers can benefit their businesses. Ebenezer Nfe Ansen, a master's student in the Department of Community Sustainability at Michigan State University, interviewed cocoa farmers and producers in Ghana to find out how certification programs work. His research could identify problems in cocoa production in Ghana and other cocoa-producing countries. He spoke with Ali Hussein, a reporter for The Food Fix.
Hi, Ebenezer, and welcome to The Food Fix.
Hi, Ali. Thank you.
Tell us about cocoa production in Ghana.
Cocoa production in Ghana, I would say, is very important for the world cocoa economy because Ghana is the second largest producer of cocoa. As of now, we produce about 20% of world cocoa production. And also, very importantly, we produce the best quality premium beans in Ghana. Cocoa production in Ghana is also very important because Ghana is, and other West African countries where cocoa production is also very important, are very good representations of the challenges in cocoa production. So the traditional practices that farmers use and other conventional technologies that have been invented in cocoa production have several challenges associated with them. And so if we talk about cocoa production in Ghana, it's important both in terms of its contribution as well as the challenges that are within the cocoa production.
What is the problem of deforestation in Ghana and how does it relate to farmers' certification?
Cocoa is a forest crop. It does well in forest areas. And so traditionally, people would increase their area that they have under cocoa cultivation when they want to increase their output. He will clear more land and plant more cocoa trees. I wouldn't be surprised because if I am in a situation where I still have to clear the forest to plant more trees in order to increase my output, then maybe I would be a farmer that wouldn't want to have anything to do with certification because this is something that certification doesn't promote. Certification programs, if you want to increase output, intensification is the way and not extensification.
Is child labor also a concern for farmer certification in Ghana?
It's one of the biggest issues in the cocoa sector. Just before I go on, the issue of child labor is not limited to the cocoa sector only. It happens in many other sectors there. And so discussion of child labor in cocoa production is a very, I don't want to call it difficult, but it's very debatable.
Sensitive.
Yeah, sensitive. Maybe that's the word that I should use. It's quite sensitive because areas where we do cocoa production in Ghana are mostly very remote areas. It comes with lack of schools, lack of transportation means, and lack of so many other things. So the issue of child labor is big in cocoa production, but it's sensitive and very debatable.
What is voluntary certification of farmers?
Voluntary certification of cocoa farmers is a market tool that seeks to promote the adoption of sustainable agricultural practices within the cocoa production sector. Let me make something clear. Cocoa certification has more to do besides what it does with the producers. It's a value chain thing. So beyond the farm, still cocoa certification goes on those that lift the cocoa beans and those that process the cocoa beans. They all have their aspects of cocoa certification. But what I am interested in, what I am talking about, has to do with certifying the farmer, the primary producer of cocoa. Certification in this context is a tool that seeks to incentivize farmers to adopt these sustainable agricultural practices that have been recommended for so long.
What are the benefits for farmers to be certified?
The benefits of certification come in two ways. One, if you adopt these practices, regardless of whether or not you are in certification, it is expected that you will increase your output, your children's life would be better off in the future because you don't take them to the farm when they have to be in school and stuff like that. Your own environment would be safer because these practices tell you how to dispose of your waste, how to deal with chemicals and stuff like that. Then the second key one is the access to price premium. So you get certified, your cocoa beans gets kind of a tag or a seal that identifies it as a certified beans. It gets to the market and then final consumers pay a premium price for such beans. And this price trickles down to the primary producer. And then secondly, certification or being in certification is a very good means of getting or improving your access to farming inputs. It's actually a requirement. They are certified in groups and we all know if you are in groups, it comes with so many benefits. So that is also another benefit that certified farmers get.
What are the benefits of certification for cocoa processors?
There are benefits I would also say can be viewed from two directions. First of all, certification gives them a chance to create a market niche for themselves. And then you also get this opportunity to put yourself out there to the final consumer, to let the final consumer know that I am sourcing cocoa from people who are adopting sustainable agricultural practices. I am sourcing my cocoa in ways that don't harm our environment. I am sourcing my cocoa in ways that don't make some people's life worse off.
Is there a difference between how much a certified farmer earns compared with a non-certified farmer?
Besides the price premium, no. I can say that for the case of Ghana, we have a very strong cocoa governance body that manages everything that has to do with cocoa in Ghana, the Ghana Cocoa Board. So the Ghana Cocoa Board, together with other partners, sets the producer price at which cocoa would be bought from every farmer. So whether you are certified or not, that producer price is flat. It's the same for everyone. The only thing in terms of price that certified farmers get that non-certified farmers don't get is the price premium.
What research methods do you use?
What started my research is my experience in working on a research project that was aiming at evaluating cocoa certification in Ghana. I picked up the idea of looking at farmer participation in the program because I realized that at that point in time, the biggest motivation was the issue of price premium. So I went to 6 cocoa growing communities in Ghana where certification has been implemented. The way certification is implemented is either through companies that we call in Ghana license buying companies. Like I said, we have a very strong cocoa governance body which has given license to some companies to buy cocoa directly from the farmers and bring it to the Ghana Cocoa Board, takes the cocoa offshore. It is either the structures of those license buying companies that are used to organize farmers for certification, or the other approach is farmer cooperatives. Some of them are already existing. Some of them too, it is these development organizations that are implementing certification that actually start these farmer cooperatives. So for the 2 communities that I have for each standard, I make sure one of them is for the license buying company implementation, and then the other is for the farmer cooperative implementation. What I did was that I did a first phase of data collection with in-depth interviews with officials that are involved in cocoa certification. So I talked to some officials of the Ghana Cocoa Board. I talked to some officials of some license buying companies. I talked to some officials of development organizations that are implementing cocoa certification. And then besides the in-depth interviews, I also did a focus group discussion in each of the 6 communities that I worked in. Then after that first phase of qualitative work, I did a second phase of a household survey where I go into each of those 6 communities. I enumerate all the households within the community. During the enumeration exercise, we indicate whether you are a cocoa growing household or not, and also indicate whether you are participating in the specific certification that is going on in your community. From that enumeration exercise, we create a list of certified and non-certified farmers and randomly select farmers from the two lists. And those are the farmers that we interviewed them in the household survey. So at the end of the day, I did 6 focus group discussions, 16 in-depth interviews, 13 of them I recorded and transcribed, 13 of them I wasn't allowed to record, so I just had to scribble my notes. And then I did 312 farmer household surveys.
What did you find?
I realized that farmers don't know enough about certification. This is because I simply asked farmers their level of knowledge in certification. And even though I found that it is higher for farmers who are certified, it is still, even farmers who are certified, it is only about 60% of them who feel that they are very knowledgeable about the program. Another aspect of knowledge is I asked certified farmers, do you know the standard that you are certified with? And interestingly, I asked for the 3 different certification standards, and the highest percentage that I have is 30%. Only up to 30% of certified farmers know the certification standard that they are certified with. For one certification standard, the percentage is as low as 19%. I also asked farmers their knowledge of the objectives of the program, and it is only 2 objectives for certified and non-certified farmers both. More than 50% of them know that these are objectives of certification, and those 2 specifically have to do with objectives that relate to increasing output and income. And then the second one is improving the conditions of farm workers. For other objectives like eliminating child labor, conserving the environment, community infrastructure development, and improving environmental conditions, all of these objectives, less than 50% of farmers know that these are objectives of certification. And then the next one is what I call farmers' engagement in the program. I look at the lag time between implementation and farmers' participation. What I mean by that is the period between when certification was brought to a farmer's community and when the farmer joins. And on average, I find that it is between 9 months and 14 months. I also found that in terms of leaders of these certified farmer groups, most of the certified farmers believe that the leaders are chosen by members of the group. So it is not a situation where it is the outsider organization or promoters of certification that impose leaders on farmers. So farmers themselves choose the leaders of their group. And then also I ask farmers the percentage of meetings that they attend. So I ask you in the last 12 months how many meetings your certified group organized. You tell me, and then I ask you how many of them you attended. And I found that in general, farmers attend about 64% of their meetings. And then also I found interesting that farmers agree to a large extent with the requirements of certification, as well as decisions that are taken within certified farmer groups. The last finding that I want to talk about has to do with involvement in inspection. After farmers have been trained on the requirements of certification and they have implemented the requirements, there has to be internal inspection of farmers. What internal inspection is about is that the certified farmer groups, some farmers are selected to inspect other farmers' farms. So you go to my farm, I go to your farm. That's what internal inspection is about. And then from my interviews and my focus group discussions and even review of literature, it is expected that every farmer has to be internally inspected. But up to 40% of the farmers that I interviewed say that they have never been inspected internally. And then up to 70% say that they have never been inspected by external auditors. External inspection is when audit firm is invited after the internal inspection to also come and do another verification before the farmer group is certified.
What are the implications of your research for improving farmer certification in Ghana?
I want to believe that we need to do more in informing farmers of what certification is about. The fact that leaders are more likely to be certified also speak to that matter, because it is leaders that are first approached in communities. It clearly, to some extent, shows that if farmers know more about the program, chances are that they would participate in the program. So I think we need to look at ways and means of improving farmers' knowledge of the program.
Thank you very much, Ebenezer. It was very nice talking with you.
Thank you for having me, and I appreciate this opportunity.
Thanks for listening. Would knowing if cocoa farmers were certified or not change how you buy chocolate? Email us with questions and comments at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com. The Food Fix is produced and edited by Ali Hussein and myself, Casey Wurst. Our theme music is the song Watching My Garden Grow by two of our favorite Michigan artists, Lindsay Liu and Josh Rilko. Funding for the podcast is provided by the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation at Michigan State University, a development lab funded by USAID. Have a great day!